Zechronus and Shifras. However, as this tefillah moved from Ashkenaz, from Western Europe to Eastern Europe into Poland in the 15th and 16th centuries, the custom was established to also, as we do, is to recite it also on Yom Kippur. And the reason that's so is because the mood and the emotion evoked in this tefillah is very appropriate for the totality of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, culminating, of course, in Yom Kippur. And we express graphically the tension and the apprehension and the nervousness. B'kshofar gadol yitaka v'kol demama dako yishama u'malachim yechafezun v'chilu ra'ado yochezun hine yom hadin. We're nervous. Before that, emes kiatohu dayon mochiach yodea v'eid v'chosev v'chosem v'sofer. The malachim themselves are panic-stricken because this is a day of judgment. How can you not be nervous if you take it seriously when there's so much at stake? The Gemara Masachas Erechin, at the bottom of the first page, the Gemara Masachas Erechin is describing the status of the prerequisite of what's necessary for the recital of Hallel on various holidays. What needs to be in place in order for there to be a chiyuv to recite Hallel? And it turns out that whatever needs to be in place in order to recite Hallel is in place when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Whether it's the Ikri Moed, whether it is the Ikdish Ba'asiyas Melacha, there's an Issa Melacha, it's called a Moed. Whatever it is, it also happens on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the question is, so why do we not recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? If it fulfills the prerequisites, then why don't we have the same results? Mishum de Rabbi Yavohu, the Yomer Rabbi Yavohu, Amrei Malachei Ashores, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. Mipnei Ma in Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefonecha, B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. No less than the angels themselves asked this question to no less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So Taka, why is it that we don't say Hallel on these crucially, centrally important days? Amar Lohen, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol Hashem himself answered. Efshar Melech Yoshev al Kisei Yadin, V'Sifrei Chayim, V'Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, V'Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanai. How do you expect Jews to say Hallel? How do you expect Jews to burst forth with song and joy and happiness? Hallel is not just words. Hallel presupposes a certain emotional status, a certain emotional feeling. We're happy when we say Hallel. Shiros v'sishpachos, what are you talking about? Says God himself. You want Jews to say Hallel? After all, Melech Yoshev al Kisei Adin, v'sifrei Chayim, v'sifrei, the opposite of Chayim, apsuchim lefanav. And we get inscribed and we don't know what's going to be. We don't know who's going to go where and what and how. So how do you expect the Jews to have that emotional basis that is so central for the recital of Hallel? The same Gemara appears on the top of the second page in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis Amid Beis. The same Rabbi Avohu, the same Lashon in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Avohu, Amar Malachi Asharis, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mipnei Mayin Yisrael, Omrim Shiru Lefanecha, V'Rosh Hashanah B'Yom HaKippurim, Amar Lohem, Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Din, V'Sifrei Chayim, V'Sifrei Mesim, Suchim Lefanav, Yisrael, Omrim Shira. And on that Gemara, on that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam and the Perish HaMishnayis further elaborates with a multiplicity of expressions this sentiment of how is it possible to feel the kind of expansiveness and the kind of joy and the kind of simcha that's a prerequisite for Hallel. Says the Rambam towards the end of the third line, Lefi shelo hayu korin Hallel lo b'Rosh Hashanah v'lo b'Yom HaKippurim. Listen to the lashon of the Rambam, Lefi shehem yemei avoda, hachna'a, pachad, umora me Hashem, v'yira mimenu. A whole multiplicity of synonyms for fear and for fright, and for worry and for nervousness and for prayer. Skip the next three words, we'll come back to them. Utshuva, v'tachnunim, u'bakosha, kaporo, slicha. What is central on our minds now during this time of year? What is central on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Avoda, hachna'a, pachad, mora, yira. How many times can you say fear in Hebrew? It's all in here. And bakosha and kapora uslicha, and concludes the Rambam, ubachol elu ha'inyanim, eno hagan haschok v'hasimcha. There can be no simcha. There is no joy, there's no happiness, there's no expansiveness. There can be no hallel. The three words that I skipped, umivrach, umanos, elov, are very strange. For many years, I didn't understand them. And then once my teacher, Professor Tversky, pointed out to us, Mivrach umanos elav is almost mutually exclusive. Umivrach means to run away. Umanos elav means to run towards. So are you running away or are you running towards? There's this pull-push kind of a dialectic. So Professor Tversky pointed our attention to the Keser Malchus of Shlomo Ibn Gabiro. And it turns out, he tells us, that the Sfardim recite the Keser Malchus Beleil Yom Kippur. So it could very well be that the Rambam had this Reb Shlomo Ibn Gabiral in mind. And if you look in the Keser Malchus, I xeroxed the passage and underlined just the three words. Evrach mimcha elecha. I run away from you, but I run towards you. What an amazing image to think about. What an amazing image. We run away from God because we're scared. But we don't stay far away. We run right back to God. And that's what I want to focus on this evening. We want to be in God's embrace. We're scared, but we need God. We're sort of feeling distant, but we're attracted. And we're both at the same time. That's Evrach Mimcha Elecha. And that's Umivrach Umanos Elov. What does it show? It shows the tension and the nervousness. And that's how I was raised in yeshivas. The yeshivas that I went to, the mashgiach during this time of year would give a shmooze in the yeshiva, and the mashgiach would talk about it's a yom adin and it's really serious and you've got to be nervous and you have to prepare yourself. And it would be a time of tension in the yeshiva. And then that day on September 13th, 1973, I came across a whole different emotional perspective on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Yerushalmi says, on the right-hand side at the bottom of the second page, Yerushalmi and Rosh Hashanah, four lines from the bottom, Ezo Uma Ke'uma Hazos. Yerushalmi here is contrasting the Jewish people to other nations of the world. B'noeg Sheba Olam, in the normal course of events, Adam Yodea She'esh Lo Din, Lo Ve'shchorim, Misate Shchorim, Megadel Zakano, She'ena Yodea Hech Dino Yotze. Under normal circumstances, if somebody faces a court case, and we're not talking about Stama Pashat, a simple traffic ticket or just something that's ultimately really not so consequential, but a serious court case. A court case, the outcome of which has amazing implications, has profound implications. So what do you do? So you get dressed up in black and you surround yourself in black and you let your hair grow. In other words, you don't care about what you look like. You don't care about being manicured. You don't care about the beautiful clothing that you wear. It's the last thing from your mind. Do we know what that is? It's a few days late for the chauffeur. We don't want to know what we look like. It's the furthest thing from us. Ava Yisrael Einan Kain, what do we do when we face a judgment, says the Yerushalmi, Ela lovshim levanim, umisatfin levanim, umigalchim zakanam. What do? We get all tzepitzed, we get all dressed up, we go and buy ourselves a nice dress and a nice suit, and we make sure that it matches, that the shoes should match, the hat should match, the outfit, and everything is so special, and we spend the money to look nice, l'kavod yamtiv, v'ochlim, v'shosim, usmeichim, yodin shakadosh baruch hu osa lehem nisim. What is the image projected in the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi says, we're not like the other nations of the world. The other nations of the world are panic-stricken when they face judgment. But we? No. We're not worried. We look nice, and we're well-groomed, and we buy nice clothes, and ochlim, and shosim, usmeichim, and we're happy. Because we know, yodin, shekadosh baruch hu, osa lohem nisim, we understand very well that it's going to take a miracle. It's not necessarily because sukumtuns. It's not necessarily because we deserve it. It'll take a miracle. But I'm confident. I'm secure. I'm assured that a miracle will take place. So I come in like a balabas when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. And when it comes to Yom Kippur, we don't have the ochlin and the shosim. But it's a Yom Hadin. And when I enter into the Yom HaDin, I enter into the Yom HaDin with a sense of confidence. And if you look at the next page, I Xerox that tour, that famous tour in Tavkof Pei Aleph at the top of page 3, the tour that precipitated my question to Rabbi Soloveitchik that night 33 years ago. So the tour says, it's the last couple of lines in the tour, Ezo Uma Ku'uma Zu Sheyoda'as Ofya Shel Elokeha. What other nation knows the way its God works other than like the Jewish nation? Shemenhago Shalolam Adam Yodea, Sheyesh Lodin, Loveshkor, Misatev Shkor, Megadel Zakono. The tour adds, the Eno Chotech Tziparnov lets the nails grow because you don't know what's going to happen, but the Jews are different. Ochlim and Shosim, Usmechim, we have a sense of confidence. So for the first time, I was exposed to an alternative point of view of what we normally call the Yamim Noraim. The Yamim Noraim, the days of war, yes, but there's an alternative emotional state. Ochlim, shosim, smeichim, smeichim. Because I know that God will do a miracle, I'm confident. So the Yira and the More and the Pachad and the Mivrach and the Manos, it's a different point of view. It's a different perspective. So I go to Rabbi Soloveitchik, I say, Rebbe, so what should I be feeling? I was always taught that I have to be nervous. And now all of a sudden, a weight was lifted from my shoulders. I could be a shtickle confident. That's what it says. Is that the appropriate thing to do? I want to take a moment to explain why this question is an important question. And for this, I draw your attention to the additional sheet that was making its way around that came to me after the initial sheets were submitted for printing. I mentioned to you that I studied for many years with my teacher, the late Professor Tversky. 1973, right before I came to study with him, in April of 73, Professor Tversky gave a talk at the Association of Jewish Studies conference at Brandeis University. I wasn't yet living in Boston, so I missed the opportunity to hear the Torah Sheba'al Peh of my Rebbe. But a year later, in 1974, his article is published in a collection entitled Religion in a Religious Age, edited by Shlomo Dov Goitein, a powerhouse of a Jewish historian at the Hebrew University in Yerushalayim. The article is entitled Religion and Law, and Professor Tversky begins the article, it's after the three asterisks on the bottom left of page 69, as follows. A tense dialectical relationship between religion in essence and religion in manifestation is at the core of the Jewish religious consciousness, its legal configuration, and its historical experience. Professor Tversky here cites from the title of a book by a Dutch Gentile scholar by the name of Van der Loo, who in 1963 published a book entitled Religion in Essence and Religion in Manifestation. And Professor Tversky takes that phrase and uses it to explain from his perspective the essence of what it means to be a committed and observant Jew. Halacha observance has two parts. Number one, there's religion in essence, and number two, there's religion in manifestation. Religion in manifestation is how I manifest my commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I manifest my commitment? By doing mitzvahs. So I take a lulav and I shake a lulav. Or I eat matzah on the night of Pesach. Or I count Sfiras HaOmer. Or I make Kiddush. I manifest my commitment to God. You look at me, you know exactly what I'm doing. It's public. It's obvious. It is very objective. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. As I state, this is what I have to do. It is identifiable. You see me, you can identify exactly the act that I'm doing. And it's also scripted, because the details are spelled out. You have to take the lulav, you have to hold it in a certain way, you have to shake it in a certain way, you have to eat matzah. What's matzah? What can be matzah? How much time does it take to make matzah? How much matzah do you have to eat? How long do you have to eat it? It's all scripted. That's religion and manifestation. Religion in essence, by contrast, is the inside. Religion in essence is the personal. Religion in essence is the private. It's not obvious. Religion in essence is, what am I feeling and what am I thinking about when I'm doing that mitzvah? It's not scripted. It's something that only I know. You could look at me and you have no idea what it is that I'm doing. I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik say many times that the Torah doesn't want us to be robots. The Torah doesn't just want us to do. The Torah wants us to be elevated. The Torah wants us to feel. The Torah wants us to internalize and to be transformed by the acts of mitzvah that we perform. Of course, we have to do them, but it doesn't end with the doing. The doing is inextricably linked with the emotional high, the growth. How am I different after I shake the lulav from before I shook the lulav? What did the lulav do for me? So now it's my Tzoyi Shabbos. We just went through a Shabbos, an important Shabbos. So our Shabbos was wonderful. I did Shabbos. Shabbos was great. I took care of Shabbos, but what did Shabbos do for me? How am I different now, my Tzoyi Shabbos, than I was Erev Shabbos? And I should be different. Shabbos should somehow affect me in a way that transcends the 25 hours of Shabbos. And Professor Twersky says that there's a tense dialectical relationship between these two. And he goes on to say in the course of this article, because sometimes the emphasis is on one, and sometimes the emphasis is on the other to the exclusion of the other. Sometimes we're really concerned about the Maisa HaMitzvah, the Chol Proteha V'Diktukeha, and we want to make sure that we do it right, and we have to worry about that. But then we lose sight of the song. We lose sight of the drama. We lose sight of the Pnimius of the mitzvah. And then there are times, or there are communities that really focus only on the spiritual and on the inner, to the detriment of the act and the performance of the religion and manifestation of the Maisa HaMitzvah. And essentially what Judaism is a combination of the manifestation and the essence. If you turn over the page, Rav Soloveitchik said this beautifully in the hesped that he gave for the Tolna Rebbetzin, my teacher's mother. Allah Shalom, when she passed away, the Rav spoke at the Levaya and then a year later published the hesped in tradition. He's talking about the pasuk in Mishle, Shema b'ni Musa Ravicha v'al titash Torah simecha. And he wants to know at the bottom left of the first column, what is Torah simecha? What kind of a Torah does the mother pass on? He's being maspid, a woman. So he wants to reflect on what is the woman's role in Judaism and what does it mean, Torah simecha? I admit I'm not able to define precisely the Masoretic role of the Jewish mother. Only by circumscription I hope to be able to explain it. Permit me to draw upon my own experiences. The Rav was very self-referential in his public addresses. It was a way to bring people into his world and to have him connect with the audience. 4,000 people, he could talk about his relationship with his wife. Very intimate, profound, personal sentiments that he reflected and that he shared, because he wanted people to really identify with what it was that he was saying. permit me to draw upon my own experiences. I used to have long conversations with my mother. In fact, it was a monologue rather than a dialogue. She talked and I happened to overhear. What did she talk about? I must use a halachic term in order to answer this question. Me'inyana diyoma. I used to watch her arrange the house in honor of a holiday. I used to see her recite the prayers. I used to watch her recite the Seder every Friday night. And I still remember the nostalgic tune. I learned from her very much. Most of all, I learned. What did I, Rabbi Joseph E. Soloveitchik, learn from my mother? I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, which we are now calling religion in manifestation, but also in a living experience, religion in essence. She taught me, my mother did, that there is a flavor, a scent, a warmth, a varmkeit. There's a varmkeit, there's a geschmack to mitzvos. Let's skip to the next paragraph. The laws of Shabbos, for instance, Hilchos Shabbos, were passed on to me by my father. They are part of Musar Avicha. The Shabbos, as a living entity, as a queen, was revealed to me by my mother. The fathers knew much about the Shabbos. Masach the Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos, Slametas Malachas, Avos Toldos, Daraisa, the Rabbanon, huge Masechta. Hilchos Shabbos, I learned from my father. We sat, we learned Masach the Shabbos. The fathers knew much about the Shabbos, but the mothers lived the Shabbos, experienced her presence and perceived her beauty and splendor. So Torah life is both. And therefore I came to Rabbi Soloveitchik and I said, I pretty much get the religion and manifestation of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but I really am struggling with the religion in essence, because feelings are important. Because on the night of the Seder, it's not just the din to drink and to swallow and to chew, but there's a din in Cherus, and there's a din in Avdus, and there's a din in recreating, and there's a din in re-experiencing and feeling. And so in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also. And now it's 20 hours to go. So I know the halachas. We were treated to a wonderful analysis leading up to Yom Kippur and on Yom Kippur. But I want to focus on the inner life of the Jew. I want to focus on, so what's going through our thoughts and our minds and our feelings when we're in shul hour after hour, and even now as we're anticipating being in shul hour after hour. This past Thursday night, I had the privilege of speaking at Stern College for TLN. CJF, Yeshiva University, has a wonderful program for high school students, boys and girls, separate programs. There were 214 young women from a number of high schools, girls' high schools in the metropolitan area, came to Stern College Thursday night. So I was privileged to ask to speak to them, and I came, and then the bus from Brewery that had brought 70 kids was late. So they said, you know, if you don't mind, we'll start in a half hour. So I had a half hour. So I went into the library, the Stern College library, and I started to browse. And I browsed in the periodicals section, and I picked up the current issue of a journal called the Journal of Religion. And right there in the Journal of Religion, July 2006, there's an article entitled Wonder and the Religious Sensibility, A Study in Religion and Emotion, by Professor Robert Fuller at Bradley University. And he raises an issue that I never really thought about. I thought about religion and emotion. That's what tonight's presentation is all about. But wonder and the religious sensibility. So when was the last time we had a sense of wonder? And wonder is a wonderful word because it elicits all different kinds of feelings. I have wonder. I have awe. I have wonder. I'm not sure. That's also part of my religious sensibility. Maisa HaMitzvah, Pe'ulas HaMitzvah, religion and manifestation. But the wonder about standing in the presence of God and what that means and what is the Ribono Shel Olam. It's an important part of our religious lives. And it was that as a kid, as a little kid, that I was trying to get at. And I wanted Rabbi Soloveitchik to help me. So for 6 minutes, he's rattling off one source after another. Look at the rush at the end of Rosh Hashanah, he says to me. So I go home and I look at the rush at the end of Rosh Hashanah. The rush at the end of Rosh Hashanah, in three different liturgical contexts, addresses this very question. The question is, what is the status of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Is it a holiday? Is it a day of Simcha? Is it a Yom Tiv? Or is it a Yom Hadin? Is it Yomim Noraim? So, for example, says the Rush, the right hand, bottom right hand, page 3, Rabbeinu Yitzchak b'Rabbi Yehuda, Hinhig b'Magensa, Lomer v'Hasiyenu b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur. If you look on the left hand side, third paragraph down, so you know that when it comes to Shalosh Regalim, we include in the Amida of Shalosh Regalim the paragraph that begins V'Hasiyenu Hashem Elokecha, Es Birkas Moadecha, L'Chaim u'L'Shalom, L'Simcha u'L'Sasa. So Frekza Chakasha, is this phrase appropriate to be recited on Rosh Hashanah? Can we on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also say Birkas Moadecha, L'Chaim u'L'Shalom, L'Simcha u'L'Sasa? So Rabbeinu Yitzchak Rav Yehuda institutes in Mainz that it should be recited. V'chein Rabbeinu Meshulam Shaul Aspi Rosh Yeshiva Shir B'Yerushalayim V'Heshivo Sha'omrim V'Hasiyenu B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. Avol Gaon Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alevi Zal Hinig B'Germais in Germaiza in Worms Shelo Lomar. Not to say V'Hasiyenu. Why? L'fish Birchas Moadim Lo Shayach Elo B'Shalosh Regalim. Because it's not Shayach to say Birkas Moadech L'Chaim U'L'Shalom L'Simcha U'L'Sasan on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's a din in Shalosh Regalim. What's the machlekes between Mainz and Worms? The machlekes is, what's the status of Rosh Hashanah? This very question, is Rosh Hashanah a moed? Can we say L'Sasan L'Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? Or is it not a moed? And we can't say it. Number two, continues the Rosh, Kosav Rav Yo, a few lines later, Sha'alti es Rabosai, Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyah B'Shabbos, Im Omrim L'Maitzoi Shabbos V'Todiyenu. So this year, it happened, Maisa Shehoya, this year Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, and Matzah Shabbos, on a normal Yom Tov on Maitzoi Shabbos. The Yom Tov coincides with Maitzoi Shabbos, we say V'Todiyenu, the last entry on the left-hand side. In the fourth line, in V'Todiyenu, how do we refer to the day? Kedushas Shabbos, Uchvoid Mayed, V'Chagiga Saregel. Is Viter, again, the same question. Is Vatodienu appropriate to be recited if it falls on Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvah Shabbos, or not? So the Rav Yo says, I asked them whether to say Vahasienu, whether to say Vatodienu, Mipnei, the problem is, She'omrim bo v'chagigo saregel, v'Rosh Hashanah, lo chag v'lo regel. Third one, a couple of lines later, B'tshuvas mar sar sholom kosuv, v'Rosh Hashanah ha'yomrim b'shtei yeshivos, Bein b'tfila, bein b'kedusha, mo'adim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason, es yom hazikaron hazeh. At the top on the left-hand side, v'titn lanu Hashem elokeinu bi'ahava, mo'adim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason. So do we say that, or do we not say that? What's the issue? What's the liturgical issue? The whole liturgical issue cuts on this very question. What is the status of Rosh Hashanah? How I describe Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in davening speaks to the essence of what that day is all about. And it would appear from here that they're mutually exclusive. Memanashach, either you're going to say Vasiyenu, or you're not going to say Vasiyenu. Either you're going to say Vatodeyenu, or you're not. Either Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin, and it's not a Yom Simcha, and it's not a Moed, or Rosh Hashanah is a Moed. And I can't say Simcha. They seem to be mutually exclusive. Either you say it or you don't say it. But what's the issue about whether you say it or not? The issue is, what's the status? What's the conceptual status of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Turn to the next page, not only in a liturgical context, but also in a halachic context. So the Rav said to me, look at the Mordechai at the end of Rosh Hashanah. Look at the Mordechai at the end of Rosh Hashanah. So I go to the Mordechai, and then subsequently I found out that this is a huge literature. And the question is, am I allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? It's a halachic question. Am I allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? Because after all, Vashteitzach, I want to fast. How could I eat on Rosh Hashanah? How could I eat on Rosh Hashanah? If Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Meisim Suchim Lefanav, So not only do I not care what I look like, I don't have an appetite. And maybe it's a frumkeit for me not to eat. Because if I'm fasting, so that's a hisayrus. My fasting is a hisayrus. My removing myself from food forces me to be introspective. So it's a wonderful thing. It should be a midas chasidus to fast on Rosh Hashanah. It should be an option at least. Let alone maybe even an obligation to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Is not the fasting in keeping with the kind of an emotional tension and nervousness and uncertainty and trepidation that is so central to Rosh Hashanah. No, for Shteitzach, we know that on Yom Kippur, we fast. It's not an issue on Yom Kippur. The issue is on Rosh Hashanah. So the Shibolei Aleket says, on the top of the page, and echoed in the Mordechai, both lived in the 13th century. The Shibolei Aleket lived in Italy, and the Mordechai lived in Ashkenaz. The Mordechai was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, in a pogrom at the end of the 13th century in Germany. The Mordechai learned in the yeshiva of the Maharami Rutenberg. He was a Talmud of the Maharami Rutenberg, and he was a Chavrusa of the Rush, of Rabbeinu Asher. The Rush and the Mordechai were Talmidim of the Maharami Rutenberg. It was a terrible time, the Rindfleisch massacres at the end of the 13th century. We know the story, the famous story about the Maharami Rutenberg. He tried to disguise himself, but a Meshumid snitched on him, and he was thrown into a Migdol. He was thrown into a jail, and the whole question about ransoming and not ransoming. The Rush was successful in escaping, and he escaped from Ashkenaz, and he went over the Pyrenees, and he went down to Spain, and he lived the next 27, 28 years of his life in Spain. And the Mordechai Nebuch died, was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, at that time. So the Mordechai says on page 4, the bottom half of page 4, Nishal Rabbeinu Nachshon Gaon, Mahu lehisanos b'Rosh Hashanah, v'heishiv b'Rosh Hashanah osur lehisanos, shtel zechfar. It's osur lehisanos on Rosh Hashanah. Not only are you not obligated, but it's not even an option. You're not allowed to fast. Ich volt gemeint, I would have said that if I want to, at least I should have that option. No, you're not allowed to fast. Beimi divrei Torah, beimi divrei Kabbalah, beimi Braisa, beimi Talmuda. And he brings rayas that, in fact, Rosh Hashanah is a moed, because the pasuk says Eila Moaday Hashem and includes Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is a chag, because after all, there is a pasuk that says Bakesa Liyom Chagenu. So Zet Nedach that Rosh Hashanah is a chag, and then all the way at the bottom, the last five lines, Min HaTalmud Minayin. How do you know Min HaTalmud that you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? How are you Yerushalmi? The Hachitana Yerushalmi. Eizo uma ka'uma zu benoek sheba olam, etc. The Talmudah here is not the Bavli. Normally the Talmudah is the Bavli. Here the Talmudah is the Yerushalmi. It's enough in a Yerushalmi. You can't fast. Adarabba. Oichlim. Shosim. Smeichim. Oichlim. Shosim. Smeichim. What do you mean fast? You can't fast. It's also the fast. So not only in a liturgical context do we see this being played out, but it's played out also in a halachic context. If you turn to page 5, I quoted a pasuk that they all quote from Sefer Nehemiah Perek Ches, when the Jews come back with Ezra to try to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. So in Perek Ches, at the end of pasuk Beis, it says that there was a whole tekes, there was a whole ritual that happened b'yom echad l'chodesh hashvi'i, on the first day of the seventh month. What is on the first day of the seventh month? That's the day of Rosh Hashanah. And then look in pasuk Yud, v'yomer lohem, Luchu, ichlu, mashmanim, shesu, mamtakim. He told them to eat. Eat, drink. It's okay, it's fine. On Rosh Hashanah, another proof that fasting and Rosh Hashanah are in fact mutually exclusive. And this is tangentially related to Tzom Gedalia. We know that the day after Rosh Hashanah, the third day of Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia, if I ask you, when was Gedalia killed? So normally we fast on the day with Tisha B'Av, we fast because that's the day of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Shivasa B'Tamos, five things happened. Tisha B'Av, five things happened. Asara B'Teves. When was Gedalia killed that we fast for Gedalia? So both the Ibn Ezra and the Radak say in Zechariah that Gedalia was killed on Rosh Hashanah. Gedalia, in fact, historically was killed on Rosh Hashanah, but we have a problem, namely, we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah. So Tzom Gedalia, by its very essence, is a nidche. It's nidche in the sense that the event that it commemorates did not occur on the day in which we commemorate.
page 6,
a number of other halachic examples.
And I want to begin with Rabbi Willig's example, the second
explanation of the Shaarei Teshuva.
The second explanation of the Shaarei Teshuva is an astounding explanation. That it's not a din, achila and erev Yom Kippur, there's a chakira. Is the achila and erev Yom Kippur a hachana for Yom Kippur? Or is achila and erev Yom Kippur a din in Yom Kippur? Is it to prepare for Yom Kippur? Or is it a halacha in Yom Kippur? And this second interpretation of the Shaarei Teshuva says, it's a halacha in Yom Kippur, that Yom Kippur I also should eat. You remember the sheets, you still have them, Rabbi Willig sheets. Ki b'sha'ar yamim tovim, the other yamim tovim, anachnu kovim su'uda l'simchas ha-mitzvah. Listen to the language, yom tiv, su'uda. But I can't, my hands are tied on Yom Kippur. So nischayavnu l'kboa ha-su'uda al simchas ha-mitzvah of Yom Kippur. So there's simcha here. It's not a pshat, like Rashi says, that I'm the third answer here, the third explanation, that I have to eat in order to do my job right the next day. If I'm starving, I don't have the koyach to do what I have to do a whole day Yom Kippur. It's not a din to prepare for Yom Kippur. It's a din in Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is also mechayev su'uda. El of us then, I can't eat it, so I eat it the day before. But the language so speaks to the notion of simcha and the notion of Yom Tov. Take a look in Yeridei on the top right-hand side of page 6. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's a remarkable formulation in Se'iv Vav. So we know Nebuch, Rachmana Litzlan, of somebody sitting Shiva, and 3 days later is Pesach. Well, 3 days later is Shavuos. So what happens is Ais Shiva. Shiva is broken by Yom Tov. Shloshim is broken by Yom Tov. What about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yerideya, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim, Chashuvim kiregolim levatel ha'avelus. They are Chashuvim kiregolim levatel avelus. I would have felt maybe a little bit differently if the Mechaber would have said Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim gam kei mevatlin avelus. But there's a language here, it's considered like a regel. It's considered like a regel. It has the status of a regel vis-a-vis that same halacha. Namely, if somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, is sitting Shiva before Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is in the middle of Shiva, or Yom Kippur is in the middle of Shiva, so there's Ais Shiva, because they are considered like regalim. Look at the Magen Avraham in Tavkuf Pei Aleph, all the way at the bottom on the right-hand side, in Sifkat and Dalet, 5 lines from the bottom. Avel Toch Yud Beis Chodesh, Aser lehispalel biyamin noraim, dehadinam kiregolim lechalmili. Dehadinam kiregolim lechalmili. That Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the yamin noraim, have a din kiregolim. Just the formulation here is very striking to me. Chashuvim kiregolim in Yerideya, dinam kiregolim in the Arachayim, in the Magen Avraham. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, you know, guess what? This notion of regel and moed and simcha is more pervasive than you may have thought, because in fact, it expresses itself in the issue about the tfilos, it expresses itself in the iser tainis, it expresses itself in the hilchas avelis, it expresses itself here with regard to a shaliach tzibur, it expresses itself in the second answer of the Shaarei Teshuva with regard to Achila and Erev Yom Kippur. But wait a minute. I thought my whole life in yeshivas, and after all, it's in the Gemara Mefureshes, that we don't say Hallel. L'maisa, we don't say Hallel. Sifrei Chaim, v'sifrei, the opposite of Chaim, Suchim Lefonav. V'Yisrael Omrim Shira. So what do I make of this? So now I have a whole lineup on this side and have a lineup on this side. But I'm a simple guy and I have to worry about tomorrow night. I got to feel something on Yom Kippur. And I'm torn. I am perplexed. A dialectic works on an intellectual plane. Tzvei dinim, azoy, azoy. But I'm talking my kishkis now. I'm talking my neshama now. So Rebbe, dear Rabbi Soloveitchik, am I supposed to be happy or am I supposed to be nervous? And I can't figure out how to be happy and nervous at the same time. Doesn't operate with me. So tell me what to do. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. So I want to share with you a number of approaches, and I want to conclude with Rabbi Soloveitchik's approach, which just is more and more every year so incredibly resonant in my own personal life, and I hope you will find it meaningful as well. So the Sefer HaChinuch on the left-hand side of page 6 juxtaposes one with the other. I want to go through a number of sources for you. Sefer HaChinuch here is talking about the Isser Melacha on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, or on Rosh Hashanah. And he says on the left-hand side, in the middle, that after all, it's a mitzvah samoed. That's how he begins the second paragraph. Misha Rosh, mitzvah samoed, calls it a moed. V'lachein ro'i laso so yomtiv. So he says that Rosh Hashanah is a yomtiv. V'lihiyos b'minyan moedei Hashanah hayikarim. Such a beautiful language. The Moadei Hashanah HaYikarim, the precious holidays. He could have stopped after V'liyos B'minya Moadei Hashanah. Now HaYikarim, they're precious. Yomtiv is a Yakar. It's a Yakar, it's precious. So Rosh Hashanah should be included in the Minyan Moadei Hashanah. However, he continues, Umita Chehu Yom Hadin Lodun Kol Chai, Ro'ui Lamod Bo, so on the one hand, it's a moed, it's a yamtiv, but don't forget that after all, siddach hayom adin. So therefore, you should be more frightened and nervous than the other days of the year, than the other moadei hashana. V'zehu hatam, 3 lines later, shelo kavu zichronam livracha lo mar halel b'moed hazeh. So the Sefer HaChinuch is at least cognizant of this tension, that on the one hand it's a moed, but you should also be nervous. But what I'm looking for from the Sefer HaChinuch is, take me by the hand and tell me how to do that. Give me a mahalach, give me an approach that will be meaningful to me in my life. Okay, so I have to be both. It has a halacha of a moed, it's nichlal b'chol mayadei hashana. And at the same time, don't forget, it's a yom adin, you got to be nervous. So how am I to negotiate these tvei dinim here in my soul and in my heart? If you look in the next page, a famous Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, a second potential approach. So for all kinds of fascinating and interesting reason, the Rambam decided to paskin Hilchos Halel in Hilchos Chanukah. The issue of classification in the Mishneh Torah is a fascinating question. What does he decide to put where in the Mishneh Torah? Actually, my teacher, Professor Tversky, has a whole chapter in his magnum opus on the introduction to the Mishneh Torah of Maimonides on the issue of classification. Al Kopanim, for whatever reason, the Rambam paskins Hilchos Halel in Hilchos Chanukah and Paragimel. So he goes through all of the days in which we have to recite Halel. And then the Rambam says in the middle of the second wide line, Avol, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, Ein Bahem Halel, Lefi, Shehein, Yemei, Tshuva, V'Yira, V'Fachad, Lo, Yemei, Simcha, what's the next word in the Rambam? Yesera. Lo yemei simcha yesera. Vas leg to the Rambam, there's gold in this one word of the Rambam. We are trained to live our lives hanging every word in the Rambam. So the Rav said to me on September 13th, 1973, Shteit in Rambam simcha yesera. So I didn't know what he was talking about. I found the Rambam. It's a fascinating Rambam, because the Rambam could have stopped where? After the word simcha. Which is the way, essentially, he stopped in the Parash HaMishnayos that he wrote when he was younger. What does the Rambam say here? Hein yemei tshuva yira ufachad, lo yemei simcha yesera. What is mechayev halel? What do I need in order to say halel? Simcha yesera. So Simcha Yeseira I don't have on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because after all, it's Yemei Tshuva year of Afachad. But what do I have on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Simcha I have. So the Rambam here opens up a Pesach for us. The Rambam here says that it's not an either-or proposition. And this is going to figure very prominently. It's not Ode Yah Simcha, Ode Nein Simcha. No, you can have Simcha. Even if you can't say Hallel. And why can't you say Hallel? Because Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei, the opposite of Chaim, Psuchim Lefanav. But how can you say Shira? How can you say Hallel? So I can't say Hallel? A shtikala Simcha I have. Epis Simcha I have. A piece of Simcha I have. So felt in Simcha Yaseira, but a shtikala Simcha I have. In spite of the fact that the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei, the opposite, Psuchim Lefanav, I could still somehow generate in my neshama and in the depths of my soul a sense of Simcha. And the question that I continue to ask is, how do you do that? I'm a simple guy. I'm a simple guy. What do you mean? I know from Simcha. I know what's not Simcha. What kind of Simcha do I have? And what kind of Simcha don't I have? How do we understand the Lashon of the Rambam? Look at the Shulchan Aruch and Tav Kuf Tzadi Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in the middle on the right-hand side of page 7. Ochlim v'shosim usmechim. He paskins lahalacha. One eats and one drinks and one is happy. V'ein misanen v'rosh Hashanah v'lo b'shabashuva. Can't fast. Usser. Amnam. But he catches himself. Once again, he's aware, like the Sefer HaChinuch was, of the problem. Amnam lo yochul kol seva'am. Don't eat to full satiation. Leman lo yekelu rosham. So you shouldn't become lightheaded. V'tihiye yiras Hashem al paneim. Yeah, ochlim v'shosim. But halzachayna bissel. Doesn't mean you can fresach up a lebedik and tug and eat whatever you want and stuff your face. No. After all, it's aseres yimei tshuva. After all, it's Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Shuvah. Lo yochlu kol seva'am. Eat, ochlim, shosim, smechim, but yesh gvul. Why the yesh gvul? Because if you overeat, you will lose sight of the grandeur, the majesty, the intensity, the power of the day. So you have to eat, but you have to control yourself. The Taz on the left-hand side. And the Taz on the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch that we don't say Hallel. Tufkuf Pei Dalet, the middle of the left on page 7. Why don't we say Hallel, says the Taz? Lefisha Sifrei HaChayim V'Hameisim Psuchim V'Eich Yomar Shira. He quotes the Gemara. Sifrei Chaim V'Sifrei Meisim Psuchim. You can't say Hallel. Ay, frek the Taz. V'Af Agav Sha'anu B'Tuchim Sh'Neitze Zakoyim B'Din. But what do you mean? What about that whole other perspective? You're telling me that I can't say Hallel because I'm panic-stricken, but what about Yena Yerushalmi? What about the tour? What about that whole alternative image that says that I am confident? The Taz asks our question. How can both of these coexist simultaneously? And for the Taz, Mikom Makom, it's a lot to think about in this Taz. Tzorech Lihios Yorei V'choreid Me'ei Masadin. Yeah, I'm confident. But why am I confident? Why should I be confident? I just waltz into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and say, hey man, I'm cool, no problem, I'm confident. That's it? What kind of mechutzah for you? What kind of isvor for you? From whence stems the confidence? Zok the Taz, from the tension. Confidence comes from that. If I do my job and I am nervous and I am worried and I take it seriously and I internalize the fact that Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei the opposite of Psuchim Lefanai, and that has an implication for me, and I really try to drill in and to change myself, and I try to do whatever I can do, then when I come to shul already, Rabbi Willig said, I'm a malach already, I walk into Yom Kippur, that's it. Now already I have a sense of bitachin. I did my job. Ichad meins ogetan. I harvested and I sweated and I was nervous and I did tshuva properly and I did what I had to do properly and now I'm ready to go. God, it's going to be a good year. When I was growing up as a little boy, I remember my grandfather, my mother's father, Zichrono Livracha, used to call us after Yom Kippur, and he used to say, "Mehaben sich ausgebeten a gut Jahr." That's it, Matzah Yom Kippur. We did it! We did it! Mehaben sich ausgebeten. Not ich hoffe, as mehaben sich ausgebeten. Not I hope we did the job. No, we did it, slam dunk. Mehaben sich ausgebeten. Why? Because at that point, betuchim. Why the betuchim? Because I did my homework before Yom Kippur. Because I was yorei and chored. Because I took it seriously. So in a sense, the Taz gives us sort of a chronology. How do both of these coexist? The answer is they don't really immediately coexist, but there's a tahalich. Stage one is face the intensity. Stage two is, after having faced the intensity, go ahead and do it. President Joel is a Baal Tefillah, Baal Musaf from the Yom HaNoraim. So he works hard, I'm sure, to prepare himself. And he takes it seriously. And then when he gets up to say Hineni, you know, it's like, I did what I had to do, and now the Rabbeinu Shalom, we're a team. We're going to make this happen. I have the Tzibur on my back, and it's going to happen. We all come into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We come in with the homework done. Which brings me to the last point that I want to make. I know the hour is late, and I want to conclude with the point of Rabbi Soloveitchik. So the Rav said, he said to me one word, and that really resonated with me over the years. He said to me, you know what Simcha means? This was after 6 minutes on September 13th, 1973. He said, Simcha means Lifnei Hashem. Simcha means Lifnei Hashem. He said to me, you think Simcha means jumping up and down, being happy in the standard sense, the colloquial sense of the term happy. That's not what Simcha means. If you look on page 9, we don't have time now to go into it. The Rav establishes in many different places a fundamental principle that the definition of Simcha means, Lifnei Hashem, to live in the presence of God. If you want to know what real Simcha is an awareness. It's not an emotional hutzking. You know, in Simchas Torah, we associate it, you go make Kiddush, and you drink something. That's not what real Simcha is. Real Simcha is that you stand in the presence of God and that God is with you. Go back to the Tolna Rebbetzin's Hesped for the final source. What did Rabbi Soloveitchik learn from his mother? What did Rabbi Soloveitchik learn from his mother? Most of all, I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. She taught me, my mother did, that there is a flavor, a scent, and warmth to mitzvahs. Now, listen to this. Take out a red pen. I learned from her the most important thing in life. What a profound statement. If I asked you to go home and take out a piece of paper and say, write on it, the most important thing in life is. And then you finish the sentence. And I don't want family and parnassa and gesund and nachas and community stature, because that's like six too many. The most important thing in life is, and Rabbi Soloveitchik tells us what he considered to be the most important thing of life, and he learned it from his mother, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon my frail shoulders. The most important thing in life is not to feel that you're alone. The most important thing in life is to feel that somebody's there for you. And Milanu Gadol from the Ribbono Shel Olam, to feel that God caresses my cheek and that God hugs my shoulder. And that's what Simcha is, because then you can go through life. That's really what Simcha is. So they're not mutually exclusive. What does it mean on Rosh Hashanah? What does it mean on Yom Kippur? I'm panic stricken. It's 19 hours to go, and I'm nervous. And I'm tense, and I'm worried, and I'm uncertain. But at the same time, I walk into Yom Kippur, not alone. I walk into Yom Kippur, I believe this. I walk into Yom Kippur with the Ribbono Shel Olam next to me. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do the best that I can do. God judges me but God is sitting next to me when God is judging me. And that's really what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And that's what Yom Kippur is all about. And that's why you can have simcha. Simcha is not a stira to uncertainty. Simcha and uncertainty are cut from the same cloth. Because the simcha is that God is giving me a hug now on Erev Yom Kippur. I did what I could do. I took it seriously. And the Rebbe Shalom is with me. And that's ultimately what the Rav said to me 33 years ago. And now I'm first beginning to understand it. The most important thing in life is to feel that the Rebbe Shalom is with us. Simcha is lifnei Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Should give us all the power and the strength and the wisdom and the intensity and the commitment to face Yom Kippur now, tomorrow night and the next day. And we should all be zocha. We should all be zocha. We should be zocha as individuals. We should be zocha as a community. We should be zocha as a great yeshiva. What brings us together is an incredibly great Torah institution and a university. What an amazing place this is. That we should be zocha that all of us in our own lives, our family lives, our communal lives, should see the strength and the passion and the power and the good health and the success. And we should be zocha for Eshnas Chaim v'Shalom. Lanu u'lachal Yisrael.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gemar Chatima Tova. Thank you.
Thank you.